Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you so much for tuning into the Next Chapter Widows Ministry Talk Show, a ministry embracing widows and others who have lost a special loved one. I am Mary Hollis, your host, and I am thankful that you tune in tonight to be a part of this talk show. And once again, we have another guest tonight, but before I bring her on, I'm going to go over a few things and we'll bring her on and let her do her testimony. We've been talking about for the last, since the beginning of November, bouncing back again. And we've had several of our ladies to come on and tell us a short story about how they bounce back again. We heard from Linda Grant, Nancy Hill, Jawan Stewart, and then we have a special guest, and her name is Carolyn Resman. Before I bring her on, I want to go read something from my encouragement Bible, the NIV. You know, I think this is a good Bible for you to purchase for the holiday for yourself. It's the NIV Encouragement Bible. And on the front of it also says, "The Answer for Those Who Hurt," the New International Version. And it has been very encouraging to me and getting materials to talk to you about. And I want to read this tonight. and is in Psalms. And this is, they have different people who are talking about different part of the scriptures and what each one means in encouragement. And this one names, the title is When Deliverance Comes. It's Psalms 72, 13 through 16. But it's not the scripture. It is talking in reference to what the scripture says. I have a widow friend who desperately tried to self-sufficient. I have to pry prayer needs out of her and dig to uncover how she really feels. She seldom admits she is in over her head, although it's obviously to everyone around her. It's hard to help her because her hands don't reach out to help for help. They cover up her wounds instead. She covers up her wounds instead. The message of Psalms 72, 12 to 14 is for my friend. God longs to bring her the deliverance only his love can bring, but she won't cry out for help. She thinks it's a sign of weakness. God brings helpers to her door, but she turns them away. She doesn't want to be burdened. God wants her to know how precious and valuable her life is to him, that he paid an unbelievable price to ransom her soul. But she thinks she isn't worthy of his love. How I wish I could convince her to take her hands off her wounds and lift them to God. He will deliver the needy who cry out, but they have to let him. I hope that you listen to all of those words, because sometimes we all are like that. We don't want to reach out for help. People are reaching to help us, but we don't want to, because we feel that, just like it indicated in the beginning, that it shows weakness. Crying out for help does not show weaknesses. It's showing that you need help and you do not want to continue in this way. So just, I hope that you listen to every single thing, because it's very true. I've heard it just like this before from among some of you. But you have to let it go and let God help you. Okay, just a minute. So I just wanted to, when I read that to a few days ago, I wanted to share that with you. I want to go ahead and also make a couple of announcements in the middle. So, because when we have our speaker to come on, I want to end with her testimony. I want to thank all of you who gave, sent in a donation to the Next Chapter Widows Ministry during the Tuesday of Giving. I called it Great Day of Giving, but it's really called, you know, Tuesday of Giving. But anyway, I thank you so much for your support. Many of you, I mean, I appreciate the donation, and it will definitely help us to be able to do things that need to be done. The other thing I want to remind you again, that our Christmas gathering is December 17th, and we are going back to Magnolia Room in Tucker. It's a they have all, very good food, country-style food, and we had a great time. We are going to be in a separate room away from the public. So just knowing that we have reserved this room again. The other thing is, during that day, we're asking you to bring your shoeboxes filled with toiletry items and wrapped like a Christmas gift, so we can take these to these young ladies that we're going to be taking it to. And we're asking each person to do at least two boxes. You can get poetry out of most things you can get from the Dollar Tree. And make sure that you it's for ages from 8 to teenagers. And when you do two boxes, get one for the little ones from 8 to 12 and put maybe barrettes and different things like that in there. And you can put Christmas socks in there and all the little toiletry items that you know that little girls and teenagers need. So bring them to the event that we're having on December 17th. If you're not able to come, just give me a call and you can drop it by my home. We want to take it just before Christmas to the ladies. So just let me know if you're unable to attend. I know there's so many different things that are happening, Christmas parties and all the gatherings from the churches and, you know, different things like that. So I know that sometimes the date is the same date that we plan. So those are the two announcements. The other thing I want to, one of our widows sent me a text a few days ago, and her sister is not doing well at all. She is suffering from cancer, and she wants our prayer. Her sister's name is Audrey. So please keep her in your prayers for healing and also to comfort the encourage the of the family as well. Tomorrow at our church, we're going to have a prayer service. So if you will be calling in, listening in, you know, send her name up, Audrey, for her sister, the widow. Her name is Marilyn Bell. I'm not sure what her sister's last name is, but her sister's name is Audrey. So in your prayer time, too, pray for her, for deliverance, healing, and all of the things that, you know, needed for that family, and encouragement, and also because that is a sad time. You don't want your loved one to leave you, but, you know, we just have to put in God's hand for his healing. So those are the announcements that I wanted to make tonight. And what we're going to do now, we're going to let Carolyn Resman talk with us and let her go over some of her story and how she is able to bounce back. She's still going through her journey, but she's going to come to you in her own way and talk with you tonight. And we want to end the show with her, but I probably might ask her a question or make comments after she's finished. Carolyn?
Good evening, all you awesome listeners. First of all, I have to thank God for every day he allocates me, and I thank Mary for asking me to share my journey with you. I also thank Mary and her group for allowing me to tag along with them before I was a widow. I remember telling my husband one time when my friend had invited me to an event. I said, I'm going with Bernice to a widow's affair, whatever it was. And he sort of looked at me really funny, and he said, you trying to tell me something? I said, no. I say, Bernice needed a date, and I'm it. So we sort of laughed about that. But what I want us all to do is to soak up the joy that God has granted to all of us. It's just there for the taking. And just remember, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My take on death is somewhat different. It's the exception, not the rule, because my father always said, once we're born, we come in this world on our way out. Each day you're closer to the grave. So that's what he always said. And I sort of had that attitude toward it. But, you know, after I met my husband, we were together 51 years. We dated 3 years. We were married 48 years. We celebrated our 48th wedding anniversary 1 month before his death. And he passed this past January 30th, 2022. And I must say, speaking of him, he was a really upfront guy, no frills. He didn't pull out the chair for you. He didn't open the door. And I remember that first time as a young couple, I'm sitting in the car, you know, just sitting there waiting for my husband to open the door. And he looks back and he said, "Something wrong with your hand?" He said, "You going? You better come on." So as I watched him walk away, I opened the door and I got out and I went on in behind him. So one thing about him, I liked him. I grew to love him over 51 years. But after 51 years, I still liked him. It wasn't one day in those 51 years that I did not want to be Ms. Roseman after we were married or to be with him or talk to him. That's not to say that we were perfect. We had our moments, but it was mostly him fussing at me because I was the bad guy. He was a person of his word. If he said I'd be right back, he came right back. If I said I'd be right back, I may be back 7 hours later because me and my girlfriend was in the mall. We opened it and we closed it, buying stuff we didn't need, and he would tell, "Booker Bear, you can't spend a dollar if you ain't got a dollar." But I tried anyway. And so I must say, that was just the kind of guy he was. And I can think of things he said in those 51 years that made me smile, made me laugh. I have no reason to cry or to be sad or be sorrowful because I have 51 wonderful years of memories that he granted me. And he's still taking care of me even after he has passed on. He took care of me. He took up where Daddy left off. My daddy spoiled me, and my husband spoiled me. My husband did everything. He paid the bills. He bought the houses. He bought the cars. He named the children. He got the oil changed. I didn't have to do anything, but I was paying attention. I had the names of plumbers and electricians and all of those things. So when he became ill, I wasn't one of those people that had buried my head in the sand. I was able to just take the rings and run with it because God gave me the strength to do that. And also I have to thank Mary and her group for allowing me to tag along because all of the scenarios that those widows painted, telling about the things they found out, you know, after their husbands passed, about the house that was refinanced or the car note that they didn't realize was as much as it was, and those different things. But with me, not only did I inherit being the head of the household and doing all the things that my husband always did for the last 40-some years, I inherited a sick husband that I had to take care of. But God gave me the strength. I said, "God, don't move my mountain. Give me the strength to climb." And he did. Because when you know that you know that you know, and you put all your faith in God 100%, I promise you, and this is my experience, he will deliver. I didn't realize that you could have grief removed until my first experience with my daddy, and then with my best friend of 30-plus years, and then with my husband. And I used to think to myself, wow, you know, I used to tell him, "Roseman, you can't die. You can't leave me. You can't divorce me. You got to be with me forever." But then, of course, you know, life would have it that one of us would leave each other, and he happened to have left me. But God removed all my grief. I haven't had but one missed moment, and that was right after he passed away when our boys got here. We have two sons, 40 and 45, and when I embraced them, I had a moment. But then after that, it was gone because watching him decline cognitively and physically after knowing what he was like for 51 years was more of a stress for me than watching him die because I knew that wasn't the person that I met 51 years ago. And, you know, the number of times he went to the emergency room and came home, She came home once on oxygen, and I thought, man, I don't know what to do. I got to plug up these tubes and this and that. And so I asked the nurse, I said, let me write this down, what I need to do. I wrote it down. I said, now watch me do it. And I did. They said, Ms. Rosen, you got this. And I thought, this is God. This is not me. Then another time he came from the emergency room from the hospital, he was diabetic. The infection in his body had caused his AC1 to elevate. I had to learn how to check his blood sugar and calculate the amount of short-term insulin and then give him his long-term insulin. I didn't know how to do that. I wrote it down. The nurses watched me, and they said, Ms. Roseman, you got this. I said, that's only God. Then he came, he stopped talking, he stopped walking, he stopped eating. The doctors were saying, just keep him comfortable. But I couldn't see myself not giving my husband something to eat. So I suggested the feeding tube. He came home with the feeding tube. I had to learn how to change the tubing and get the air out of the tubing and hang on a fresh bag and date it. I asked the nurse, I said, show me what to do. Write it down step by step. I wrote it down. I said, now watch me do it. I did it. And I said, wow, God, you are just awesome. Because this is my first rodeo. I don't know anything about this. I'm not a medical person. And I know we all may not be in the same space I was in. But if you try God, put all your faith and your trust in him, let him handle it. He can and he will. And I promise you, your life will be so much better. And it's one thing that I did that God allowed me to do. 3 years ago, my husband first started declining. I asked myself a question, Kelvin Roseman, if something happened to Bobby and his income and your income, will you be okay financially, emotionally, spiritually? My answer was no. So I need to do something immediately. So I paid off the house note, the car note, all my credit card bills, some of his credit card bills. Because whether you are young or young at heart, and this is a message I have for all couples now that I have traveled this journey, ask yourself that question. Because your spouse could either become disabled and his income could change and his income be taken away, depending on what you have in place in terms of life insurance or savings or whatever. And it's real that if you wake up one day and your life has changed instantly, you need to be prepared. And so we could all make ourselves an ambassador to suggest to couples, young or young at heart, ask yourself that serious question, will I be okay if things change? Mary?
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carolyn. But I wanted you to tell a little bit more of your story. You didn't say how long you have been considered as a widow.
January 30th this year, I said he passed January 30th, 2022.
Okay.
Since January this year.
Okay. And thank you so much for that testimony, but I want us to talk a little bit more. You are at some of the ladies that are on the line, the callers, some are new, some are seasoned widows, all different length of time, and each one of us go through grief differently. Now, listening to you, you would not believe, I would, you know, if the way you have spoke about your journey and your husband, it's like, baby, you are a seasoned widow. Not a widow that just in less than a year, your husband transitioned. But your faith, it seems like as you prepared yourself, I mean, all of us never, you know, you never know what God is going to do. I wasn't prepared. I was left with two little babies, and I cried and asked God, you know, more or less, you know, I can't take care of me and my kids with the salary I'm making. So those were questions. Those were questions that I had when that happened. Thank God he continued to provide for me and my family. And that's a good suggestion, really talking to couples who are still alive to let them know to prepare for these things. And not just for that, prepare for these things, but at the same time, talk about it. Some of us do not like to talk about death. Now I'm trying to get my kids to listen. My son is fine, but my daughter still don't want to hear about when I talk about different things. But it's important to talk about those things.
Because it's real.
Yes, it really, and it happens. And it happens so suddenly you don't have time to think about the things that you need to get done. But it is so important that you discuss these things with people. And I am trying to get myself more together. So if anything should happen to me, my kids will not have to deal with, you know, different situations. But things happen and we do not, but if we have a friend, that's what I want to say. If we have a friend that is still married, just in your time, that's what you can bless them with, for them to prepare themselves if something like this should happen, to tell them that they should make sure that these things are in order and not to go through what you are going through or what you have gone through, because that can help them. You know, help others. Find ways that you can feel better about your situation by helping others in certain different ways. So just know that this is very helpful, just like you said.
And yes. One of the things that they need to consider, a person does not have to pass away for your financial status to change drastically. A person can become disabled and their income change because they're on disability. So, you know, financial status is major for survival, period.
Right. But I do appreciate your testimony. I want to go over a little further. Even so, if things happen quickly and you have no time to prepare, just like the story I read at the beginning, when deliverance comes, in spite of our situation, God will supply our needs. We have to cry out to him, tell him, and it might take some time, but he will supply your needs. He will put things in order. When my husband transpired, I had two little babies, and I worked for a bank. You know, bankers don't make money. Bankers have great hours and benefits, but salary, no. And I knew that my income was not going to be able to take care of the house as well as the kids. But God found a way. Sometimes you can't see it, but just give him time. It didn't start happening until, you know, weeks after he died. I went to get his last paycheck. There was enough money to take care of the mortgage for several months. Also, later on, different things happened in 6 months. So just wait on him and knowing that it's going to get better. I know sometimes we can't see it and we don't believe it because it's so painful, because we're also missing the person and going through the emotions. But God, just like the waymaker, Sinek said, he's a waymaker.
Yeah.
He'll provide. He'll put the dots together.
And well, I know, like I was sharing
about
my husband coming home from the hospital those different times with different illnesses. I certainly didn't know anything about diabetes or anything about the feeding tube or the oxygen tanks. But God will give you the strength to do whatever. I mean, I'm a walking testimony because I certainly didn't know any of those things. But I had the mindset to write it down, to let the nurse watch me do it, Because in the midnight hours, when you're there by yourself, the nurse is not there. You're it. If it just so happens that you're a caregiver, you know, in addition to, you know, all the other things you inherit that you have to do. So, I mean, I was just blown out of the water the way God just came through. I mean, he was just so awesome. That's my testimony. He is just so awesome.
And the other thing that he did for you, Carolyn, you went we went on a trip every year. And most of those trips, you were there. You were there with them.
That, that's why
and you were married.
I
so
thank
you
for letting me.
Go ahead.
Yep.
Yeah, you were listening to how the ladies were dealing with certain things. You heard some of our testimony during that time. Also, you saw the strength and the weaknesses, and you knew what you had to do when you, you know, your husband became ill. So pretty much you, I think the purpose of you hanging with us because God, you know, God knew when he was going to take your husband's life. So you had the strength to be stronger in your walk because of what you experienced with the widow's ministry. You went on many trips. You knew how the ladies were feeling. We did different types of workshops. You were right there. So when your time came, you had more strength and ability to handle your situation because you saw what we were going through. So God put us in places where we get what we need. And just knowing that you, too, who are listening, God will take care of your needs. Cry out to him, just like we mentioned in Psalms 72. You know, cry out to him. I mean, it's going to take some time sometimes. It doesn't happen overnight. And sometimes it can happen overnight. He will supply your needs. He will put things in order for you of ways that you never thought that it would ever happen. Because the things that he did to me and my children, I just didn't think that these things was going to happen. It just kept happening. He kept providing. He kept putting things in order because he loves us. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And Carolyn, he didn't leave you, and he's still walking with you. And thank you so much for sharing your story, because each story that is being told about bouncing back again, it's to strengthen each one of us, whatever place that we may be at this particular time. During this time, I normally every year from the last 2 months of the year, I normally do a grief workshop. But I really, God put it upon my heart to talk about having testimonies, letting other people hear about each person's testimony, how they are bouncing back. It's not easy. You don't just bounce back just like that. But it's work in it, but it's also faith in it. Put your faith at work and knowing that God is going to get you through it. And that is all I have for tonight. We're going to have another guest. We're going to have a guest every Tuesday until the end of the year, because I want you to hear seasoned widows as well as widows who just had a loss, and knowing that you are, God loves you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there for you. Just be patient, have faith, but keep yourself around people who can encourage you and help you through this journey. And don't be afraid to cry out for help. If someone says that they want to do something for you, let them, because they honestly want to do it. I know sometimes we want to be alone and don't want to be around anybody, but continue to allow God to help you through this journey of grief. And thank you so much for tuning in again tonight. Tune in again next week from 10 to 10:30 p.m., and I'll have another widow who will give you another testimony that can encourage you and through your journey of grief. Be blessed and have a great evening and a great rest of the week. Thanks again, Carolyn.
You're welcome.
And I am going to play Waymaker again.